providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
This is Community Comment. I'm Jake Hayes, getting ready to introduce Kevin Haugen. But before we do that, I wanted to remind you that Community Comment is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering. Professional Floor Covering, at Professional Floor Covering, Randy and his team are here to help you design the perfect space for over 1,000 samples of carpet, LVP hardwood, tile area rugs, and window finishings. It's so much more than floors. It has a wide selection of kitchen and bathroom countertops, cabinets, tile, shower inserts, and more. They also have tub-to-shower conversions. Turn your standard bathroom into a luxurious spot with a tub-to-shower conversion. A tub-to-shower conversion also drastically improves the quality of life for those that have trouble lifting their legs up and over the wall of a standard tub. And now, for Community Comment, here is Kevin Haugen.
That makes it easier for people.
I think we're... Oh, and welcome into today's Community Comment. I am your host, Kevin Haugen. I was not doing my job as host. I was not listening for the cue to send it down here for Community Comment today. I apologize to our producer today, Jake Hayes, for failing to do my duty on that part. But want to welcome into our studio this morning, joining us here on Community Comment today, are members of the Beaver Dam Police Department. With us here on Community Comment is Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson and the Chief of Police, John Kreitziger. Thank you both so much for coming on Community Comment today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, we are in to talk about the annual report. That's why the Chief is here. He makes his annual appearance when that report is compiled and done. He checks it off the list. All right, I got on Community Comment. I don't have to worry about it for another year. But we appreciate the Chief and the Lieutenant for coming in on Community Comment today. We'll dive more into that annual report here in just a little bit. But if you have a question for our guests here on Community Comment this morning, you can reach the program at 885-4446 if you want to call in, or you can text 887-9595. Again, if you want to call in, you can reach Community Comment at 885-4446. Or you can text 887-9595 if you have a question for our guests here today with the Beaver Dam Police Department. Fellas, before we dive into that annual report and just sort of highlight one or two very brief things about kind of just what that report shows from the last year, want to just give a brief update on a really well-known case here in our listening area. We had the lead detective on that case last week, Detective Dan Coons, come on to talk about this case. Again, that is the months-long Amber Alert that was issued in early February, was finally resolved last Wednesday evening, I believe, was when they were spotted near Omaha, Nebraska. Gary Day was taken into custody, and Sophia Franklin is I'm assuming, I don't know where the status are is at this point, but hopefully reunited with family at this point, and all is well. But I want to give a brief update here with just the court process and proceedings. The individual charged in this case, Gary Day, was in court yesterday. Chief, essentially what he had done was waived extradition. And I kind of know what that is. I feel like I hopefully explained it all right in the news story we had today. But Chief, you are well more versed in what this stuff means. And I kind of pass it over to you. Essentially, what does that mean in this case?
Well, now he's available to be prosecuted by other agencies. So what it is a lot of prosecutors get together and they decide how this would work and what's the best way this would work. So right when this incident happened, I had called Andrea Will, our district attorney, and talked to her so she could start coordinating this. So she's been working on this since day one, trying to coordinate how this is going to work. So what she does, she reaches out to all the other prosecutors and they all talk and try and figure out what would be the best way to handle this, how it would make logical sense based on the federal charges, based on the state charges, multiple states, Dodge County charges. Some are felonies, some are misdemeanors. How this would all work. So they kind of work together behind the scenes. We don't really get involved involved in that. We really aren't part of that. That's between them. I do have an occasional conversation with Andrea once in a while just to see where we're at with that status. She's pretty confident that he's coming back to Wisconsin. She's pretty confident after talking to others that he is going to be back here in Dodge County to face the charges that we have for him, which are four charges for, and they're all felonies. So.
Yeah. It's four felony charges that Gary Day is facing in Wisconsin. I believe the other state he's facing charges in is Arkansas. So, and I believe also, too, on top of that, there's federal charges well. So that adds to the complexity of which jurisdiction gets their piece here and how this whole process will unfold. Again, that Gary Day waived extradition, which means that that sort of speeds up this court process. A lot of times, if they don't waive that, does that mean then there's more court proceedings, more court dates that need to be done before he's able to be extradited to other states?
If he would want to contest the extradition, there's court hearings and proceedings that have to happen, which just delays everything. So this does speed it up, makes it quicker, and now he's available versus he's not available till he waives the extradition. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, we'll be following this court story closely here on Daily Dodge, and I believe he has another court hearing, if I recall correctly, April 24th. Later this month, I believe, is when Gary Day will be back in a Nebraska County court, and when things progress locally here, we'll be sure to cover that as well here on 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge. But just wanted to provide that update here for our listeners. Again, you can go to dailydodge.com and listen to our interview with the lead detective on that case, Detective Dan Koons. Was very nice and to join us last week on Community Comment and spent an hour discussing his role, what the last couple of months had looked like for the Beaver Dam Police Department and coordinating with multiple different agencies. It's been a busy couple of months, and
it has. Yeah. And it's so there's a learning curve with this for us. You know, we deal with missing adults and children all the time. Within the city, and usually those are things where, okay, well, we're walking away from home for a little bit, we're spending time with our friends, or we're in another county. We've had kids run off to Milwaukee, where we work with the Milwaukee Police Department, and we get them back with the parents. But this one was completely different, and we did not have enough information to truly know if Sophia was safe, and that's what the family was very concerned about. So we as a police department, and me personally as a police officer, learning how this process works, and it was very new. It may not ever happen in the span of our careers. Hopefully it doesn't, right? I mean, this is...
We never want this to happen.
No, we don't. But we are ready for it a little bit more this time if it ever were to happen again. It's a very... It was a labor-intensive process. It was very nice to see how the state of Wisconsin, especially the Department of Justice, sent their agents out. I remember making some phone calls, determining that, yes, this should be an Amber Alert. And probably an hour later, we had 15 to 20 DCI agents in our municipal courts coordinating how we were going to attack this. And it was a very interesting
coordinating
process.
All of them is a lot, but the next day they had 30, almost 30. So
correct.
That's a lot of work. But when they come in, they each have their assignment. So
and a specialty too.
They know exactly what they got to do and what their job is, and they each do their job. So it worked out really well. But
I know when we had Detective Dan Koons on, that was one thing that he praised throughout the show was just the collaborative efforts of all agencies involved on this case,
including the federal guys, too.
Nobody had an ego. Everybody came in, wanted to cooperate with each other, which was great to see. Again, our guests here on a Community Comment this morning are with the Beaver Dam Police Department. To my right is Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson. If you're watching on Daily Dodge TV, that is. To his right is the Chief of Police, John Kreitziger. We do have to take a short break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Step into a world so fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new, they've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
This is Wally Lukashinsky here with Leo's wife, Christine. Leo is a client of Visiting Angels, and Christine will be discussing both of their experiences with us today. Christine, can you describe the challenges that you and your husband, Leo, face every day?
Just as we've aged, and we all age, he has, and so he's not able to do as many things for himself as he used to.
Can you describe a little bit more for us the support your caregiver, Lori, does for you guys?
Lori is the angel from Visiting Angels. She is amazing. She comes with a lot of experience.
How would you say that the Visiting Angels office supports you the most?
I appreciate having direct contact with somebody who's really listening. They actually call back. They genuinely seem to care about their clients.
I think I have a feeling I know the answer for this one. Would you recommend Visiting Angels to other people?
If the people that they're serving are as wonderful as Lori, you've got a great thing happening for you. To know that your people are cared about is huge. That must be where the little angel part comes in. Thank you to Visiting Angels for their service.
If you or someone you know needs help, visit visitingangels.com.
Race to savings on your next project at Menards. Blue Def diesel exhaust fluid is engineered to help all SCR system diesel vehicles reduce emissions and improve fuel economy. It's colorless, odorless, and non-toxic, and can save you money on costly repairs. Get a 2.5 gallon jug today and save $4 after rebate now at Menards. Good through February 18th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
Are you thinking of buying or selling your home? Do you have questions about the current real estate market? Join us the third Tuesday of the month at 11:10 a.m. as we talk with Klodowski Real Estate. Talk and text lines will be open.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
With more Community Comment, here's Kevin Haugen.
Welcome back into today's Community Comment. It is 1019 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Our guests here on the program this morning are with the Beaver Dam Police Department. With us are Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson and Police Chief John Kreitziger here on Community Comment this morning. One more time, if you have a question for our guests, you can call the program at 885-4446. Or you can text 887-9595. If you're watching on Daily Dodge TV on our YouTube channel, you can see the numbers on the bottom left of your screen there. If you want to call in, again, ask a question of our guests here on Community Comment today. But want to spend here this segment of Community Comment, fellas, talking about an annual report that is put together, and I will not explain this. That's why you guys are here. So, Chief, this is sort of your area of expertise. Essentially, what is this report, and how is this put together, and why is it put together every year?
Well, it kind of gives you a guidance. It kind of drives you the future, where we go and where we headed, where do we have some concerns and issues. And it involves the numbers, from the numbers that we report every monthly to the FBI, to all the municipal citations and all the crashes and complaints. So that's all tabulated. So I kind of get an idea when we apply for different grants where we're going to use that money for grants, or when it comes to our budget, where we're going to use items or resources out of the budget to try and address some of the concerns that may pop up during an annual report. So basically, we do a monthly, we get a monthly tabulation, but this puts all the months together and puts everything together. And then I study it. And then what I usually do is go back 5 or 6 years and do comparisons to see how the trend's going, and try to look for some common themes in the numbers, and try to talk about where the numbers are going and in which direction they're headed, and kind of gives you an idea where we're at.
You talk about really the focal point here is the trends and just seeing the changes from year to year. One of the things that we want to highlight here with you guys on Community Comment here with this report is the call for service, calls for service that the department has received here. And I feel like your agency, other agencies, whoever we have on, that number isn't going down. It's going the opposite direction.
Yeah, there's two parts of it. The good part is that crime hasn't gone up, but the calls for service in the city of Beaver Dam went up 2,955 calls. That's a lot of calls for service.
And that keeps us busy.
Sure.
And most likely they're not crime related because the numbers for the crimes aren't going up. So we're either resolving those ahead of time so there isn't any issues or concerns. We have a lot of people that want to talk to us about different complaints, civil issues and other issues, family issues. All those are part of that. It's probably why that increase is there. But that is a lot of calls for service. And I think that averaged out to like 45 calls a shift or something. And it's a lot of calls.
Yeah, that is a lot of calls. And that's Lieutenant and Chief, is that something that you, do you guys feel that during your shifts? Is obviously you look back and see the final numbers and say, well, yeah, that is a significant change from 1 year to the next with the amount of calls that you guys were called out to. But you know, on a day-to-day basis, is that something that you guys feel?
You do feel it, yeah. And so you don't feel it every day, but there are certain days where you're like, oh, wow, that was busy, where you have call. And like the chief said, it's not necessarily a criminality thing, but it's still a call for service. You could show up on scene and you could end up just talking with the people, resolving it. It could be civil matters where you make a couple of phone calls, work things out. It could be handled through a citation. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where you do feel it. And it does, when you have more calls for service, it takes away the ability for officers to be proactive in the community. So us visiting parks, checking buildings, staying by high crime areas, making traffic stops and trying to slow people down that might be speeding, those sorts of things you notice an impact on the more calls for service you have. We're still doing our job. We're still doing good things in the community, but it's more reactive instead of proactive.
Yeah, and go ahead, Chief.
Yeah, I was just going to say some of these calls, though, they vary in time length, too. You know, some of these, you're on these calls for hours. We get a normal emergency detention. You're talking anywhere from 8 to 15 hours just to deal with that from start to finish.
Yes.
It's a lot. That's a lot of time for one officer to be involved. So sometimes these calls require 2-3 officers, and it's usually they're not a simple 5-10-minute call. They're usually a minimum of 10 to 15 minutes. And that doesn't include any follow-up that needs to be done. We can maybe take that report in that short of time, but then there's a lot of follow-up by others that need to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you mentioned here that, you know, even though the calls for service has gone up, the crime numbers have stayed steady from 1 year to the next. So just because you hear that, you know, increase, that 2,000 plus number, think, oh my goodness, you know, crime is just rampant and out of control. Yeah, that's not the case.
Right.
It's that has not changed that much. Is that what the report is showing here from last year to, or 2 years ago to last year?
Yeah, and when you start to look at the numbers, you start to see patterns. Like, for example, we have the top citations that we issued in municipal court, what they are, the number of crashes we have per year averaged with other years. And then you start to see, where is that really what's happening, and what are we doing to try and bring them numbers down, such as accidents. You know, when I first started as chief, we had 488 accidents. And over the last 8 to 10 years, that's down to that 200 range now, 220 to 250, which is more acceptable, I think, than it was before. But it's a lot of people working together. It's engineering and everybody working together to try to bring those numbers down too. So,
a lot of what we see in these annual reports, and if you go to our city website and click on the police department, in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link that says annual reports. So you can read all the annual reports back to 2016 and beyond, and this 2024 report will be on there shortly. But, I mean, in the 10 years I've been here at this department, it's different. Things change. Things ebb and flow. You take a look at the accidents, the statistics, even, you know, something as far as criminality and social issues, the types of drugs that people are using have changed.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, fentanyl is a huge, you know, huge problem. Meth head pretty much been not in our community. Now it is back where before it was heroin. You take a look at 10 years ago, the use of THC in marijuana and how that has changed and how society's view has changed with it. And I mean, you will see that in the statistics of the reports. You talked about city engineering, how we engineer our roads, and that affects where the accidents happen. As if we redo an intersection, we see either up or down. There's talk of, is it roundabouts now? Did I say that? So I mean,
they're going to have to do something with the one up there by Menards. That's our number one for the last 5 years. They've redesigned it a couple times already. Just the last couple years, that was redesigned. But the large amount of traffic goes through that intersection too. That's why I think they're going to have to look at that and see what they can do.
And that area continues to grow. There's more residential areas behind it. There's more businesses that have been built there. It is a busy, busy intersection.
Yeah, there's new apartments going up right now in the north side of Walmart there.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's kind of why we do these reports is we go through and like, oh, wow, that's a really high number. Why? Figuring out why and then responding to that appropriately as police officers and as a city, that's why we do these.
Yeah, and it's important to have, like you mentioned, just so important to have these types of documents that you're able to look back on and reflect, because as you're sitting there throughout the year, you know, these types of trends and statistics don't stand out during the year. You don't really notice things going up. I asked earlier, obviously you feel the calls on certain days go up, but certain trends in arrests or certain like car accidents, it's tough to really see, as I like to use the phrase, the forest through the trees sometimes, and it's hard to really get a full grasp on how bad a certain issue is. So having a report like this to reflect back on and see, all right, yeah, this was a problem. How do we address this going into next year is so important for you guys.
And you get grant money, if you use the data-driven numbers to get you grants to be able to work on the data.
It's very important. Yeah, and one more time before we head to another break here on a community comment, Lieutenant Johnson, you mentioned where people can go to eventually be able to see this report. You mentioned
all the past ones are on there, and that'll be on there real soon. So
coming up, and it's on the city website.
City website, police department, and then once you get to that police department homepage, it's in the upper left hand corner. It's the first one on the left. It says annual reports, and it lists them right there. You can download all the way back from 2016.
All right, so almost a full decade's worth of reports that the public can go back and check out, and they can see themselves just how much things change from 1 year to the next. Here on Community Comment today, our members of the Beaver Dam Police Department. With us is Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson and Police Chief John Kreitziger. We do have to take another break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Are you an enthusiastic sports fan? Want to have fun and get in on the action?
Heck yes, that'd be awesome.
Have great attention to detail? Want to stay active?
Definitely.
Want to give back to the student athletes in your community?
Obviously, yes!
Then you'd make an excellent high school sports official. We need more officials in Wisconsin, because with no high school officials, there are no high school sports. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Spring is here, so get your home's heating and cooling system in tip-top shape now at Surefire. We've kicked off our annual spring special with savings on annual maintenance for up to $60 off. Need a new system? Get up to $2,000 in rebates on a new Lennox whole home comfort system. Beat the heat and stay sweat-free this summer by claiming your savings before May 31st. Call 920-485-4883 or visit SurefireInc.com for details. Surefire, keeping what's important comfortable since 1947.
This is an ABC News special report. I'm Wayne Cabot. The U.S. stock market is trying to find equilibrium. Instead, investors are on a low-key seesaw ride, sometimes a bigger seesaw ride. With the Dow down hundreds of points, up a couple hundred points, it's going back and forth. Right now, it's lower by about 300. The S&P and NASDAQ down by about 0.5% or more. China announcing tariffs on American goods, jumping to 125% tomorrow, meaning customers in China who want to buy American products, like farm products, will pay more. Kevin Malsheen is a soybean farmer in Racine County, Wisconsin.
China's a big player in our market. It's up to 50%, sometimes over 50% of our soybeans from the nation goes to China.
A University of Michigan survey just out suggests U.S. consumers are bracing for an inflation rate of 6.7% in the year ahead. That's the highest since 1981. This is ABC News.
Every athlete needs their rest on a Slumberland furniture mattress. Get plenty of sports updates here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, playing from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
Well, the man accused of kidnapping a teen from Beaver Dam waived extradition in a courtroom in Nebraska yesterday. That means Gary Day has voluntarily agreed to return to other jurisdictions where he is facing charges. Wisconsin and Arkansas have both requested he be extradited. Day is alleged to have taken 17-year-old Sophia Franklin from Beaver Dam in early February. He is due back in court on April 24th. The Columbus Police Department say road rage resulted in a driver pointing a pistol at another motorist. The suspect driver, reportedly identified as Edward Brooke of Randolph, tried to run another driver off the road three times and ultimately pointed a gun at him on Wednesday. The 71-year-old is facing charges of intentionally pointing a firearm at another person, second-degree recklessly endangering safety, disorderly conduct, and carrying a concealed weapon. The Dodge County Public Health Department is hosting a free car seat event later this month. It will be held at the Beaver Dam Fire Station located at 205 South Lincoln Avenue on April 22nd from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Officials with the county's health department say appointments are required. There will be a limited supply of car seats that will be given away to eligible families. Information to schedule an appointment can be found at dailydodge.com. Well, a new survey shows a quarter of child care programs statewide could close if a critical support program is not funded. The survey from the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families shows 25% of child care providers are somewhat, very, or extremely likely to close if the state legislature does not make investments in the Child Care Counts program, which is set to expire in June. A nonprofit organization, Bose Heavenly Clubhouse, recently received a $2,000 grant from the Beaver Dam Area Community Foundation. The money will be used towards their new facility. Bose Heavenly Clubhouse provides grief services to the bereaved community, including group sessions in Beaver Dam, sending care packages throughout the state, and helping with funeral expenses for children 18 years and younger. More information is at dailydodge.com. And I'm Kevin Haugen reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 52. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 31 tonight. High temperatures reach up to 58. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the mid-50s to the low 60s. Showers possible both days. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently 44.
Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all.
They treated me like family.
They're actually people that you can depend on.
They made me feel seen. They really treated me like I was a part of their family, a part of their team.
They ask how you're doing, how you're feeling.
They're just so welcoming and so sweet and kind.
It's like a family caring about another member of the family.
If you've been injured, it costs you nothing to see if Gruber Law Offices can help.
While you're tackling your spring cleaning, keep St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County in mind. Declutter and give back. St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County is accepting donations of gently used clothing, household items, kitchenwares, and more. Your items help support families in need within our community. St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County is open 8 to 7, Monday through Saturday, located on Dodge Drive in Beaver Dam. Shop, save, support St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County.
God bless from your friends at St. Vincent de Paul.
If you're a volleyball fan, Tower Lanes in Beaver Dam has some exciting news just for you. Sign up is open for their summer volleyball leagues. There are co-ed and women's league options Monday through Friday, starting the week of May 12th. Grab your team and get in on the action. Registration is just $50 per team. And the fun goes beyond the court with a killer outdoor atmosphere, food and drink specials, pitcher races, and summer bowling specials. Sign up at Tower Lanes by May 5th and get more info at bowlingbeaverdam.com.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
We
are just about to get back into community comment here, but before we do, wanted to remind you it's brought to you in part by McKinstry's Home Furnishings. Who loves to pay taxes? No one. That's why you should rush to McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam. Save big with their tax-free sale. That's right, McKinstry's Home Furnishings is paying the sales tax so you don't have to. And the best part is everything is on sale, so you save twice. Save on sofas, reclining sofas, mattresses, and adjustable bases, area rugs, dining sets, and rocker recliners. Hurry, this sale ends Monday, April 14th. Save big on all name brand furnishings, including Simmons and Beautyrest, Lazy Boy, England, Howard Miller, Cable, area rugs, and more. Delivery is free, and financing is free, and the tax is free as well. Don't miss the tax-free sale going on now at McKinstry's Home Furnishings, downtown Beaver Dam, where customers matter and quality counts. Now, without further ado, here is Kevin Haugen.
Well, thank you very much, Jake, and welcome back into our third segment today here on Community Comment. Joining us on the program this morning are with members of the Beaver Dam Police Department. We have with us Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson and Beaver Dam Police Chief John Kreitziger. We have been highlighting the annual police department report that had been compiled here not too long ago. It ultimately gets presented to the Police and Fire Commission. Chief, you just did that a couple days ago, essentially give a summarized recap of just some of the specifics and things to note there to the PFC there and the governing body of the police department, the fire department. So they are like to keep up to date with things happening within the agency there. Also, we forgot to mention here on Community Comment that if you are getting a little bogged down by all the stats and numbers, there's something to look at.
It's not just statistics. Exactly, there are awesome photographs in here, and I don't know if I can show them up here.
We should have pulled some off before we posted them.
Just probably, I would say, about a dozen pages of excellent photographs of community events here.
Let's see, we got a little bit.
All sorts of different stuff in here, and it's actually they're good photos. Here's K-9 Yeti. He's retiring here, and I was going back into the archives on the police department website here, and the 2016 annual report shows him getting sworn in as a K-9. So you can see, throughout the years, all the different photographs and happenings that we have in our community and at the police department, not just the statistics, but kind of the life. Yeah. Plus what we deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's something that we talked very briefly about off air, just how much the department has focused over even just the last 10 years here. If you look at just, the couple of pictures that were on that 2016 report to the several pages that we have here today, just how important it is for the department to get out into the community, to be at events, to show your faces and get to know people and for the public to get to know the police department.
And see the other side of us.
Exactly.
We don't want to be always seeing them or be interacting with them when we're on a call. So that's a good thing. You always get out there and be visible.
Agreed. And the number one advantage of having that community service or that community-orientated police philosophy is when you already know someone and you have a good relationship with them, when bad things happen, you can work through it a lot easier. Just by, going up and, I'm telling you, like over the 10 years, I see people on the street, I can wave at them, like, hey, how's it going? I know that guy. And just that capability of when something bad happens, you gotta say, hey, I have to let you know about this, or hey, we gotta talk about this. And you have that foot in the door to still have a positive interaction with someone.
That's the same philosophy we have with our school resource officer. That's a real goal behind that. I mean, there's been other school districts that haven't been able to get that extra school resource officer because they don't understand that the real philosophy for these SROs is to get in there and build relationships. Once they get them relationships, that's where they get the information, and then they can deal with the situation appropriately and easier because they're building those relationships.
That's the same
thing with officers.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, that's why I believe the district has three SROs on staff to focus on elementary, middle school, high school here in the Beaver Dam School District that they can spend their time in those buildings and, like you mentioned, Chief, build connections with students and build those bonds.
It's not just the safety aspect of having an officer in the school. It's the relationships and the community oriented interactions.
That's great to hear. Again, if you have a question for our guests here on Community Comments, you can call in at 885-4446 or text 887. 9595 if you have a question with our guests here today, members of the Beaver Dam Police Department, highlighting an annual report that details some statistics over the course of 2024. Crazy to believe we're already in 2025. I keep wondering if it's still 2024. It's
every time I write a check, I'm still writing 2024.
Yeah, it's been tough for me to transition here from 1 year to the next, but hopefully I get it here before 2025 is over. But another thing we want to look at here with this report is OWI arrests. And that will also segue us into something recent, Lieutenant, that you had the opportunity to do with the Citizens Academy here
at
Beaver Dam.
Yes, absolutely. So as I was flipping through the annual report, I noticed that in 2024, we had 15 alcohol-related accidents. So we've had more OWIs than that, but certainly 15 were accidents that had occurred were related to alcohol, where it clearly showed that the person who was causing the accident was under the influence of alcohol or another intoxicant, and how dangerous that can be. So we are lucky to have 15 only accidents. If you take a look at the county statistics, if you look at a bigger city, you look at the state of Wisconsin in general, that percentage can be much higher. So with that said, last night was OWI night at the Citizens Police Academy. And as part of what we do in that community outreach, like the Citizens Police Academy, is we actually have real individuals, previous graduates from our Citizens Police Academy. We had three from the 2024 class come in, and under very controlled environment, we gave them some alcoholic drinks and put them through the standardized field sobriety test so our 2024 class could observe what we're looking for clues, how we do our OWI investigations, and get a full understanding of really how these things affect impairment and how your ability to drive a motor vehicle is affected. So it's kind of an exciting night. It's a fun night. Obviously, you know, it's, like I said, controlled environment, and things like that, but we still have fun and people enjoy it. It's actually one of those.
There's always this old myth that I just had a couple drinks. So
yes.
It's really cool to see this and see how many drinks it takes you to get the point away.
Yes. And it's funny you mentioned the couple drinks, because as they drank on, I'd continually ask them, how many drinks did you have tonight? And I'm looking at six, you know, like, okay, you're there, and how many did you have? Oh, just a couple. I'm like, that's not a couple. That's three times more than a couple. You know what I mean? And that's part of it, you know, and continue on. I didn't mean to interrupt, but. Yeah, no. Okay. All right. So,
it's such an important part of educating the public about where their limits are.
Correct.
How much they can take without hitting that 0.08 legal limit there, and I'm sure it was very difficult to try to persuade people to come in and drink alcohol.
So honestly, it's not. Yeah.
I figured it was a
little
sarcasm
least. There, but yeah. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's some people that are a little like, you know, you tell them like, all right, we're gonna have you drink this alcohol. I'm gonna be your bartender. I'm gonna cut you off at a certain point because you're done at that point. And because, you know, we don't want people getting out of control.
Right,
we want to get them to that legal limit and slightly over and just show the impairment, nothing more. But you have to tell them, like, you're gonna go through these standardized field sobriety tests about two or three times in front of a group of people. And you're gonna be off balance. You might be falling over a little bit and slurring your speech, and you have to be okay with that. It might be a little bit embarrassing, but we had three excellent volunteers. They were troopers. They were fantastic last night.
Do you guys still use, I just thought of this now, do you guys still use, I know that you were able to have people actually consume alcohol, which is the best way to give this example, but
the most realistic, that's for sure.
There's those beer goggles.
The beer goggles.
Is that something that you, or is it not really a good representation of what people feel or feel like or look like?
So the beer goggles, I've actually used those myself. And they mess with your depth perception where you just can't walk, we don't have a set of those at the Beaver Dam Police Department, but I have seen those before. Them used, it will give the appearance to the person wearing them what it's like to be impaired, and you'll see if you're watching somebody wear them, you'll see them stumble around and stuff like that. But it's just not the same.
It's not authentic.
You know what I mean? Yeah, sure. Exactly. It's the same thing of like if you were to put on a set of headphones and you were listening to your own voice, but it was a half second behind, and it would mess with how you talk. You know what I mean? Because you're listening to your own voice and messes with the words come out. Same thing. You put these beer goggles on, your depth perception is off. You're looking for your foot to go one place. You're expecting it to land, and it does not land where you thought it was going to land. So it's the same thing. But yeah, alcohol is a little different. One of the tests that we do is called the HGN, horizontal gaze nystagmus, and no matter what you do, you can't fake this one. You can make nystagmus in different ways, but alcohol will always, and I believe, I'm going to say 92% of all studies, that when you get to a certain alcohol amount, those individuals will have certain clues in their eyes in the nystagmus. What it is a choppiness and a lack of smooth pursuit as you track objects. So as you're driving, as you're holding onto the wheel and looking at things and looking at road signs and people crossing the road and other cars, when you're completely sober, your eyes very smoothly track that object as it goes. But as you drink alcohol, your eyes become choppy. So rather than that very smooth pursuit of that object, you start seeing boop, 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 and it'll...
And that's the goal of the police academy. We could sit here and talk and have a lecture up front of these people all day long and tell them this stuff.
Exactly.
Until they actually see it, and someone's part of it, and someone else can ask someone else rather than the police, how do you feel? How do you think you did? Well, and you witness this, and it's all hands-on. That's the best way, and I think 100%. That makes the best... impression or effect on these people. So
for our citizens to be able to look over the shoulder of an officer as they're moving the stimulus and they see the choppiness in the eyes, indicating that these people, while they're driving their car, aren't tracking objects. You know what I mean? Like it causes a delay in processing.
As a visual learner, I can tell you that it's important to really grasp and get the full picture of what the police department is trying to get to let the public know how important it is. Exactly. It's very important. And again, our guests here on Community Comment today are with the Beaverdam Police Department. We have to take another break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Are you excited to find your perfect fit in the workforce or looking to make an impactful change to your career? Well, 95.3 WBEV, 1430 ESPN Beaverdam, and DailyDodge.com will be hosting the perfect event for you. The South Central Wisconsin Career Expo will be on April 22nd from 9:30 a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Here, you'll have the opportunity to meet prominent employers in the area. You never know when a simple connection can go a long way, so don't miss out on the Career Expo, April 22nd at the Beaverdam High School Fieldhouse.
When the time comes for a helping hand, we're America's choice in home care. When you or your loved ones need assistance, visiting angels will be there.
April is gardening month. During gardening month, Visiting Angels wants you to know that with planning, home caregivers can create a safe, accessible, and enjoyable environment for gardening. Caring for plants is especially good for seniors who have been caregivers their whole lives and are now experiencing role reversal and need a sense of purpose. Just as plants in a garden have individual needs and preferences, Visiting Angels provides personalized, customized home care for your loved ones. Schedule a free consultation at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com. Visitingangels.com.
Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Want to eat like royalty without spending a fortune? Head to Beaver Dam Food Pride. Grab Holstone Farms bone-in pork shoulder roast for just $1.89 per pound. Or go big with Angus Pride boneless beef bottom round roast for $5.49 per pound. Wash it down with Pepsi products. They're just $4 for $12. Or Kemp's chocolate milk for $3.99 per gallon. If you haven't downloaded the Perks app yet, what's the wait? Extra savings, baby. Beaver Dam Food Pride, where the only thing better than the prices is your next meal.
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, April 26th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
If you missed the Garden Doctor program this week with Dick Zondag from Jung Garden Center, no worries. Listen back to the program this Saturday at 10 a.m. right here on 95.3 WBEV. Plus, you can rewatch anytime on Daily Dodge TV.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
Here is Kevin Haugen with more Community Comment.
It is 10:50 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Welcome back into our final segment of Community Comment. Today with us on our program are members of the Beaver Dam Police Department. We have Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson and Beaver Dam Police Chief John Kreitziger on our program this morning. Before we went to break, we were talking about OWIs and just kind of some of the things that the police department shows at the Citizens Academy that they teach the public about what they look for, what they spot for during traffic stops. And we could probably make a whole show out of talking about OWIs the specifics.
We could, really, if you wanted to, we could talk for weeks. If you really wanted to, but it's OWIs and kind of the culture of the state of Wisconsin is kind of in conflict, and I just wanted to point one thing out, and I really noticed it last night, and the ladies who volunteered to be our test subjects or victims, depending on how you look at them,
sure.
I'm just kidding, who are our test subjects for our standardized field sobriety tests, they exhibited three different things. Each person had like a different attribute to them, and I just wanted to take a moment to point out that although the legal limit in the state of Wisconsin is 0.08, when officers are doing the standardized field sobriety test, they're not looking for the statutory 0.08. They're looking for impairment. So what might be a 0.08 for you, me, or the chief feels very different and will manifest itself in our behavior differently, and every person's different. Every person digests liquor and alcohol in their system a little bit differently. It's how much they weigh, how much they've had to eat, how often they drink, how their liver is able to process it through the blood, etc. So we had three different examples. We had one individual who, as they drank, they just went straight up with their BAC because we stop and we check to see where they're at, to make sure not overdoing it or underdoing it. We just want to make sure that they get to a certain level, move on. And you could see that her level of impairment matched with what she was giving us on the PBT. We had another individual who presented as a lot more intoxicated than they really were as far as their PBT was concerned. So if, for instance, she did the standardized field sobriety test, which she did, she failed them because, we saw the clues in the eyes where she had a level of impairment that she could not safely operate a motor vehicle. And by her own admission, she goes, there's no way I'd be driving. There's just no way I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And they give her the PBT and she was slightly under the legal limit. So there's two individuals there that are completely different. And we had a third individual who I swear to God was completely sober. And she was right at the legal limit. And it just all depends on who you are, your makeup. And that individual as well, although she presented to us as completely sober, she goes, there's no way I drive a car. She says, I don't feel safe driving a car. And she knew it. So and that's what I wanted to discuss is just as far as, people out there just to understand that when you have a couple drinks, when you're buzzed, okay, when you're feeling that, that means that you are impaired at some level, okay? The question is how much? Don't take the risk. Play it safe. Get a designated driver. Get a safe ride home. Call an Uber. Call a taxi. Walk. Do all these different things rather than get behind the wheel. And thank God we only have 15 alcohol-related accidents out there. Those are the ones that we know of. There could have been more. There were probably so many other drunk drivers that didn't get into an accident. But the more you tempt fate, the more you play with fire, the more you say, you know what, I'll be home in just a little bit. It's just a couple blocks away, the more likely you are to get in an accident and have some very serious consequences with that. So I just wanted to say, even though the 0.08 in the state of Wisconsin is the statutory BAC, the blood alcohol content that is illegal, you can still be impaired whether or not you're at that level. It's about each individual person and their level of impairment, how they can handle themselves behind the wheel. So if you're feeling it, that is that impairment creeping up on you. Yeah. So play it safe.
We all joke that, everybody holds their liquor differently. There's a lot of truth to
it
that.
It is truth to that.
You provided three perfect examples of how, certain amounts of alcohol impact each person differently. That one person can feel completely fine, but be at that, be at or above that legal limit, and then people who look like they are impaired beyond the ability to walk straight, they are maybe a little bit below that legal limit. And it's also an important distinction to note too that that it isn't just that 0.08 that, all right, if you are there or not there, all right, you're free to get back on the road and drive home. You mentioned it's impairment. It's the ability. Can you drive safely on the road and not put anybody else in danger that officers are looking for when they're doing these tests on the side of the road?
Right. And we always use you around that 0.03, 0.04. We don't let them drive.
Right, so, as a matter of safety. Guidance. Yeah, you know, even though we may not choose to arrest that driver who is not over the legal limit, or they had a couple of clues that they were impaired but not, you know, failing those tests, we would still say, all right, give me your keys. You're done driving for 12 hours, call a designated driver to come pick you up, and we would stay on scene and make sure that they do get a safe ride home or that they walk away from that traffic stop and don't come back. So, I mean, we make those decisions as police officers to keep them safe and everybody else on the road safe as well. So
important information. Again, a good promotion, I would say, for the Beaver Dam Police Department Citizens Academy. That if anybody out there hasn't had an opportunity to take part in that course, obviously this year's program is already underway.
Correct.
So and that goes through May or early June.
First week of June is the last class.
Week of June is the last class, but. We do a great job, I think, here on our program of highlighting when the signups are for next year. So
we have 12 seats available for next year.
It's a lot of fun, and it costs you nothing, just your time.
Yeah. If you want to apply, we'll take the applications, and I will hold them until we start really pushing for, you know, recruitment. But if you want to apply now, we'll take your application and hold on to it, and I'll start giving you a call in February next year.
Right. Do people stop by the police department or contact you, Lieutenant, to get that application?
Go to the front window of the police department, ask for an application. We'll get one for you. Otherwise, you can call us or you can email me. My email is jjohnson, that's jjohnson, @bdpd.org, as in Beaver Dam Police Department .org, or you can give us a call, 920-887-4612. Once again, 920-887-4612.
And on that note, I want to thank our guests here for coming on Community Comment today. Members of the Beaver Dam Police Department with us on Community Comment this morning. Lieutenant Jeremiah Johnson and Police Chief John Kreitziger, thank you both so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having us.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.